Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, etc. journal.
Caesar has no jurisdiction over the pulpit.
This synod was not to make any decisions. We weren't even supposed to give any propositions. This was to set the table for a year from now when an even larger synod is going to come together to continue the conversations.
If you are following every single trend that comes along, it ends up being all these different theologies basically trying to live in the same theological house, and they cannot stand. They war against each other.
The power of salvation is the gospel, the good news of God's satisfaction of the law for us. Without the law, the gospel has no content.
Florida truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, it's been a busy week, hasn't it, in Pop American Christianity? We're following on the story of Mark Driscoll's resignation. It turns out that there's a couple aspects to his resignation that weren't apparent when he sent his letter of resignation. And then all of a sudden he pops up someplace, someone hands him a microphone, and he makes what's called a spontaneous address. I don't know that it's spontaneous. I have opined that this is a pretty carefully calculated comeback on the part of Mark Driscoll, a reinvention from the bad boy pastor to whatever he plans to be next. And there's other stories to cover here on this Friday afternoon, October the 24th, with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith here on Issues Etc. as we round up this week in Pop American Christianity. A little bit later, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's a simple game where we play, in this week it'll be five soundbites because we got a bonus for you since we've not played for a while. We'll play our five soundbites. You listen, you give us a call, send us an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You get to decide which one will be Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, the Twitter address, @issuesetc, and the Facebook fan page, again, facebook.com/issuesetc. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He's pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We're going to be talking about Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill Church now as two separate subjects, really. How influential was Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill in Seattle and in Pop American Christianity in general?
I think it's impossible to measure just how influential he was. I mean, this is a man who many young evangelicals look to, and whom many people who aspired to be pastors look to try to emulate. And so, I mean, Driscoll's popularity, his influence, and his ongoing influence at this point on the general evangelical movement, it's just huge. It's absolutely immeasurable.
I want to start today by acknowledging and maybe informing some of you for the first time that on Tuesday, October 14th, Pastor Mark Driscoll submitted his resignation as an elder and lead pastor of Mars Hill Church to our board of overseers, and they accepted that resignation. And so the statement that I'm going to read to you comes from the board of overseers and the board of elders. The investigation of formal charges against Mark Driscoll revealed patterns of persistent sin in three areas previously disclosed. 1 Timothy 5:20 requires an elder to be rebuked for persistent sin. Our intention was to do this while providing a plan for restoration to leadership. We, in agreement with the Board of Overseers, are grieved that any process like this was canceled by Mark's resignation. Now is the time to move forward and consider what God is calling us to next as we participate in Jesus' mission to make disciples in his name. Today marks a new chapter for us as a church. We get to move forward together with an acknowledgement that we are a broken church, desperately in need of repentance, confession of that sin, restoration, and then forgiveness as well from you, the people that we have led We know that there are many areas in this church that we need to grow in as leaders, areas like being domineering, arrogant, and boastful. These things are not just attitudes. These things are not just personality traits. These are things that Scripture labels as sin. These are sins that Jesus died for and has cleansed us of, but we need to walk in that understanding and live in a loving way, and that's what we commit to do. We know that we have a lot of growth ahead of us. We need a lot of grace, not just from the Lord on us as a church, but also from you, the people.
Chris, who did we just hear from, and what can we learn from this announcement at Mars Hill this week?
Yeah, this was this past Sunday, and you know the question is, how was the news broken to the Mars Hill congregations regarding Mark Driscoll's resignation? And the person we are listening to is A.J. Hamilton, and he's one of the elders there at one of the Mars Hill campuses. And what's fascinating is that he made it clear that there had been an investigation regarding, you know, alleged misconduct and things that would have disqualified Mark Driscoll from being a pastor, and that the elders who conducted the investigation had determined that Driscoll there was a persistent pattern of sin there, and their intention was to publicly rebuke him and to and to discipline him, and then come up with a plan for ultimately restoring him to ministry. And you know, that's a huge bombshell to drop, and I'm surprised it hasn't gotten more play out there, you know, in the media, that that this is what had happened. And by resigning, what Mark Driscoll did was he circumvented the disciplinary process that the elders of Mars Hill intended to put into place, and so he's basically struck out on his own. Now, if we were, you know, if we were in the corporate world, it's as if Mark Driscoll basically decided to quit a job before something can go on his permanent record, so it wouldn't hurt his resume. That's really kind of what it looks like. But I found it absolutely fascinating to hear that the elders had found a pattern of persistent sin, and their intention was to rebuke and discipline him. And Driscoll, by leaving, has completely circumvented that process.
So, is it safe to say that by resigning and circumventing that process, he would rather resign and go on without Mars Hill than admit wrongdoing and be restored to Mars Hill?
That's what it looks like. You know, now clearly I'm not privy to his private conversations, and I failed my ESP course in college, so I am unable to read people's minds. But his actions lend themselves toward that interpretation.
I want to, before I introduce Stephen, our speaker tonight, I want to introduce you to a friend, a good friend of mine. And I've been speaking with him for several months now. He's going through a difficulty that most of you probably read about. I know the behind-the-scenes story. He was supposed to speak at our conference. It was publicized that we canceled him. It's not true. We did not cancel. I'm speaking of Mark Driscoll. We did not cancel him. He and I decided together that he was going to step out of ministry for a season and get some healing. He asked me, could I come to the conference and just attend? And I thought that was very big of him to just come and be ministered to. And I want to say a couple of things. First of all, I want you to know that everything you read on the internet is not true. And there are some pastors, myself included, and some others that you would know, that we're speaking into his life, and he's listening. And most of what you read is not true. Some of it is. He did make some mistakes. Here's what I figure. We've got two choices. One is we could crucify him. But since someone's already been crucified for him, the other choice is we could restore him with a spirit of gentleness, considering ourselves, lest we are also tempted.
Who is Robert Morris speaking there, and what was going on with respect to Mark Driscoll?
Yeah, this was this past Monday night, and Robert Morris, he pastors a church in Texas called Gateway Church. And this is kind of an important thing to throw into the mix here, is that Morris made it clear that, you know, he and a few other notable pastors, I would And I would suspect, you know, Rick Warren and James McDonald to be in that mix as well. But Robert Morris is a man who, in the seeker-driven movement, the best way I could describe him is that he plays the role of Johann Tetzel. This is the money guy. And Robert Morris literally teaches that your money is cursed by God, and the destroyer will come and destroy your finances unless you redeem your finances by tithing the very, very, very first 10% of your gross income to your church. And this is the guy who goes around and teaches this in all of the major seeker-driven churches. He's taught it at Saddleback, Life Church in Oklahoma City, Perry Noble's church. He's taught it at Stephen Furtick's as well. I mean, he's the money guy, but he also subscribes to the Word of Faith heresy. And in fact, in the archives of my radio program, if you were to type in Robert Morris, I've covered in depth that this man teaches that you can speak things into existence, by faith, full-blown, Word of Faith heretic. And so what we're dealing with here is that Robert Morris on Monday night reveals that he's one of the guys working to restore Mark Driscoll, and Driscoll's getting godly counsel from Robert Morris. So it's not just that Mark Driscoll did not want to be disciplined and then ultimately restored by the people at Mars Hill. It's that he's chosen instead to be restored by people of really dubious heretical positions and teachings, major leaders within the seeker-driven movement, like Robert Morris. I mean, this is kind of a fascinating development if you think really, clearly about the theological implications about what's being said here, considering that years ago Driscoll was put forward as a young, restless, and reform guy. He was put forward as a Calvinist who believed in sola scriptura and all this kind of stuff. And now, I mean, his history is marked by some very strange theological connections and bedfellows.
Well, those bedfellows, just to put a kind of a historical perspective on it, those bedfellows include T.D. Jakes, who, in addition to being a prosperity teacher, also, as far as anyone can tell from what he writes, denies the doctrine of the Trinity. I mean, it's not like this is the first time Driscoll has made truck with what we have to call persistent heretics in the fold of the church. 1 minute here.
Right. That's absolutely correct. And so for somebody who early on in his career made points about the importance of sound doctrine and even critiqued people who were Word of Faith heretics and prosperity preachers, really since Elephant Room 2, Driscoll has theologically drifted into basically this non-doctrinal type of Christianity where it doesn't matter what anybody teaches. What matters is pragmatically how successful they are at building their church and getting results and things like that.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're getting our weekly update on Pop American Christianity from him. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hurst Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. Hurst is a Lennox and GeoComfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Hurst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErnstHeating.com. Hurst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a novel titled House of Living Stones. It's written by regular guest Katie Schuerman. House of Living Stones tells a story about the power of forgiveness in the life of a small Lutheran congregation. House of Living Stones costs $10.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. House of Living Stones.
I know that they'll be at my bedside when I can't move my finger anymore, and I want them to have that.
A lot of people my age like to say, I'm against abortion, but I'm pro-life. Marriage is different. Well, the reason they're able to say that today is that 30 and 40 years ago, when the pro-life movement came face-to-face with Roe v. Wade, they didn't give up.
The degree to which society can trump God and tell him that he has to shut up about his law makes it more and more difficult for the church then to proclaim a word of mercy and forgiveness.
We start new to reach new, and we reposition the ordained leaders. What if we shifted them from doer and oppressor to equipper and overseer?
They pull a bait and switch on people, bring them in the door thinking they're going into a non-denom evangelical church when in fact they're in a Lutheran church. The problem with bait and switch is there's usually a lot of bait and no switch.
Just a taste of the five sound bites we're going to play for you this week, this Friday afternoon, on the upcoming Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in about 20 minutes here on the program. In the meantime, we're getting an update on This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. Chris, one more question on Mark Driscoll and his appearance down there when he was, appearing at Robert Morris's church and his conference. Chris actually took the mic. Mark actually took the mic at one point and said a few things. What did he have to say? What did it indicate to you?
What it indicated to me was that we've got major problems, and that is that when he took the mic, he basically played the victim card and, you know, talked about all of his current woes. And, you know, the things that he described really had to do with the challenges of you know, having to talk to his family and protect his family in the middle of a media frenzy with helicopters flying over his house and stuff like that. The issue is that he was allowed to play the victim card. But, you know, what was really missing in that all of that was any kind of true public repentance or even remorse over the people that he has personally injured and hurt by driving the Mars Hill bus over people and adding people to the pile of dead bodies that he for years has bragged about.
Man, I hope you feel some hope in this place today. I hope you realize the scandal of grace has won the way for you. Because the one elephant in the room for the church all around the world right now is the gay situation. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You need to pray for church leaders and church pastors all around the world. Because whichever way you turn the scandal, you turn one way and you can tell indeed it'll be great scandal amongst the Christian church. You turn another way and you just cut off so many people and there's all that hatred out there. And in the middle of it all, you know, there's three things. The world or the times we live in. The weight we live with. And the word we live by. Think about that. The world has changed quickly. The world's changed. And so I'm not saying that the church ever should be ruled by the way of the world. But the reality is we're in a world that is changing fast. Here in Great Britain now, the laws have passed. The world is changing. We've got the world we live in to consider. We've got the weight we live with. You say, what's that weight? Well, it's the weight when a young person growing up in a church feels like they're confused in their sexuality. They feel, maybe I'm gay. They go to a youth leader. They're rejected. At that moment, a great hatred comes in. At that moment, some of them have gone as far with the rejection of parents who didn't understand as committing suicide. That's the weight we live with. There's the world we live in. There's the weight we live with. And there's the word we live by. And they don't all necessarily align. And of course, the word we live by, many people have various convictions. But in the middle of it all, I know that Jesus, when it comes to people, would let nothing stop them from breaking through a divide to help hurting, broken, everyday, normal people like you and I.
Familiar voice of Brian Houston. He's pastor of Hillsong in Australia, very influential mega church, speaking there in London about a year ago. Of course, he's recently in the news because he's trying to somehow resolve the tension between, as he said there, the world we live in and the word we live by. And I guess Jesus finds some sort of way of compromising the two. What's going on here with Hillsong and the issue of homosexuality, Chris?
Well, Hillsong refuses to take a hard line, and this actually ended up getting quite broader attention, because last week Michael Paulson of the New York Times, at a press conference in New York City that was put on by the Hillsong people, because they had, I think, rented out Madison Square Garden and had a concert to kind of kick off, their worship conference this year. And so they were asked by Michael Paulson of the New York Times what their position was on same-sex marriage. And Houston took these exact words that you just heard him preach earlier and kind of used that as the answer. And basically, the way the media has covered it is that basically Hillsong refuses to take a position regarding LGBT issues, which is absolutely true. Hillsong is one of these movements, and I think that's a good way to put it, that they refuse to do anything to put up blocks or barriers or anything that would upset the general culture to make them as broadly appealing as possible. And you can see the subterfuge that this is. Really what this is theological subterfuge. If somebody were to ask a Christian, what does the Bible say regarding same-sex marriage? It's real simple. The Bible says the same thing about same-sex marriage as it says as adultery regarding heterosexual sex between two people who are consenting who aren't married. It's a sin. And it's a sin that Christ has died for. And the message of the church is to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. But Hillsong has decided that they want to make themselves as broadly appealing as possible, and they believe, and you can hear this in Houston's words, that saying what the Scripture says on this creates a barrier that he believes would keep people out of the church. And it's really, really sad that they're going this route, because this ultimately undermines the ability to preach and teach the gospel and really kind of forces a church on a trajectory where they're going to end up in complete non-doctrinal or bizarre, cultural liberalism.
So it sounds like, and maybe we're hearing him the same way, he's pitting Jesus against what Scripture clearly says on this issue and saying, well, yes, the Scriptures, if we say what Scriptures say, and we kind of have to, if we do that, we're going to create a barrier, but Jesus will break down the barrier that the Bible has created. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, that is what he's saying. And Carl Lentz, who is the pastor at Hillsong in New York City, has actually stated it more clearly than that. He basically says, show me the passage where Jesus ever, condemned homosexuality. Well, that's kind of a bad argument, because Jesus is the God of the Old Testament in human flesh. So somebody can point to the book of Leviticus and say, here's where Jesus condemns homosexuality, because he's that same God in human flesh. And so, yeah, they are trying, in a sense, to pit Jesus's love, supposedly, against the law. And that kind of gets to the bigger issue, though, is that when we talk about law and gospel, these seem like contradictory words, and in many ways they are. But the two have to be preached in all of their rigor, because without the law, the gospel makes no sense at all. You have no context for it.
Real quickly, with only about 30 seconds, the influence of Hillsong is pretty intense, and it's global. There's no doubt about it. If Brian Houston and the main campus of Hillsong take this direction, What does that mean for kind of broader evangelicalism worldwide on the issue? With about 30 seconds here, Chris.
It absolutely guarantees that the position of evangelicalism in the long run is going to be gay-affirming and silent in calling homosexuals to repent and to be forgiven by Christ.
Hey, I'm going to let you on a little secret that you may or may not have known about me. I have an extremely dominant personality. I don't know if it's news to you guys. I just wanted to fill you in on that one. But let me tell you what that does sometimes. I'm being serious whenever I say that. It gets perceived sometimes as perceived and maybe received from other people that I'm a bully. And whenever people perceive me as a bully, they internalize that. And what it contributes to, and this is all my fault, is to an unhealthy culture of fear. And so I just want to say that I've recognized that over the last month, and I own that. And so with knowing some things about myself and what God's doing, it helps to navigate forward as we move forward. So I just, if you've ever perceived that I've bullied you or pushed, been really dominant and domineering over you, and that you're literally scared of me, you laugh, but that's a true thing. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'm truly sorry.
This kind of brings us full circle here, Chris. That's a kind of three-quarters apology from Heath Moonhammy. Moonham finds himself back in the pulpit after a DUI, apologizing for being kind of a big, or at least people thinking he's a big meanie. You say this has a connection with none other than Mark Driscoll. What is it?
Well, I think that what's happened in the seeker-driven movement with the fall of Mark Driscoll, shudders have been sent, shockwaves throughout the entire seeker-driven movement. And aside from the fact that Heath Mooneyhan shouldn't be preaching just 4 weeks after a DUI arrest, that's a completely different issue. I think it's fascinating that when he comes back, this is the first thing out of his mouth, because I think as a whole, the seeker-driven movement is taking note of what happened with Driscoll, and they're trying to find a way to create a kinder and more gentler vision-casting leader. And I think they're actively working on that, and they're all talking amongst themselves about how to do that. And I think Heath saw that his fate was going to be the same as Driscoll's if he didn't find a way to put a kinder, gentler face upon his vision-casting, domineering persona. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. But the one thing they're not going to do is jettison their church model, where the vision-casting leader has all the power, all the authority, and all the ability to throw people under the bus. They're just going to find a way to do it in a kinder and gentler way.
So with 30 seconds, you could have the nicest guy in the world, but if he thinks he's getting visions from God and that you're bound to obey them, he's still going to bully his congregation, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And even if he does it with a smile on his face and with kindness and sadness in his heart, the result is still going to be the same. You're going to be bullied and thrown out of that church if you dissent from the vision-casting leader's vision.
Chris, what is on the docket for Fighting for the Faith tonight?
We got a Joel Osteen update and also an update from Lisa Bevere, where she is basically claiming that the sin of Sodom had nothing to do with homosexuality.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners, as we like to do on Friday afternoons as often as we can. And since it's been a while since we played Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, we have tossed in a bonus soundbite, not four, but five soundbites for you to listen to and vote for. And your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week right after this.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. the 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, etc. journal.
No gimmicks, no shticks. Just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions. By the book Liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues, etc.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.